Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have my inspiring, creative, talented, and fun friend, Ben Parker, as my guest today. We will be talking about his birthday this week, his art, his book, travel, Toastmasters, happiness, and what he wants to share with us about life here on Earth. Welcome, Ben.
Well, happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. Aloha.
Aloha, nui no.
No means
yes in Hawaiian.
What was that?
Do you remember that no means yes in Hawaiian?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, it does. It is a, you hear the word no used, drawn out at the end of typically aloha, but that means aloha, no, means indeed. No is an intensifier. It's a, indeed is a close to come.
Well,
definitely,
you know.
Means yes.
Aloha.
Well, that's your Hawaiian lesson for today, that no means yes in Hawaiian.
I had never heard that, and it's one of the things I love about having you as a friend is that how much you know about so many different topics, but the fact that you lived on Oahu when you were in college that and learned all the things about Hawaiian culture and their language and the word aloha, that makes it so much fun talking with you about that. And as we were talking about the, when I was there last week at your house, we were talking about how palm trees are also flexible and they bend with the winds. And it's such a good example for all of us that we need to bend with what happens in life, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's not any point in fighting it.
No, that's so true. That's so true. Happiness comes from how you look at life and how you decide to focus on things. And, yeah, I am so thankful that you decided to rejoin Toastmasters almost 10 years ago, which is so amazing to me because, you know, you're going to have your 101 birthday this week, which, woohoo, congratulations. That is so cool. And tonight, actually, we're going to have our first in-person Toastmasters meeting since the pandemic started. And you've been going to the Zoom ones every week with at least one of us coming over and Zooming with you. Yeah, I did. Dudley just came in and said that he doesn't have the link, but I sent it to him. So now what I was going to say, though, is that tonight we're going to have an in-person meeting for the first time in a long, long time. And it feels so strange, doesn't it, to be going to
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. But, I mean, it's like, wow. The world is starting to open up again.
Yeah.
And I had to...
I have to give a speech tonight at Toastmasters, and what I'm going to do is use it as a rehearsal, as a dry run for a speech I'm going to give. I'm having a birthday party on my birthday. The neighbors are going to have a party for me.
Oh, how nice.
And it's going to be a speech on neighborhood. I've been thinking about neighborhood. It's complicated, it's interesting, multifaceted. I think of, in our case, we're there are 10 houses on a small, lousy private road, we're automatically a neighborhood because there's nobody else around. And the party should be fun. We're going to have it at my house. And I have been reflecting also on, and the speech will be about, how important it is to have, what a wonderful institution the neighborhood is. We don't seem to borrow a cup of sugar back and forth like we did a lot when I was a kid, but we respect each other. We enjoy each other. We don't do a lot of yapping over the back fence, but we count on each other. Things like evacuation plans in an emergency, trying to work it out so that we're prepared. We're not doing it as well as we should, perhaps. I know I'm not, but we're making an effort. It's important to be a good neighbor, I think, is a very fun thing to be.
It is. And one of the really cool things, and I think one of the things that keeps you feeling so happy and enjoying life, is that you still live in your house. How long have you had that house that you live in?
65 years, I think it is.
Wow, 65 years. Oh,
and now
man.
It's pretty well the way I want it to be. I've remodeled almost every square inch of it. Now the house is just about the way I want it to be.
It's a wonderful place to visit. I love going there to visit you, and so does Dudley. But talk about a little bit about why you rejoined Toastmasters, since we're on that topic. You rejoined Toastmasters at age 92, which is when I met you. Excuse me. Why did you rejoin?
I don't know. A friend had joined Toastmasters and was talking about it, and I had been a Toastmaster off and on over the years, going a long way back. And I remembered that it was fun, and I'd look into it. So I did look into, and I found a local one. It was the one when we were meeting at the pizza joint. And I went, and after I went to the first one, I had to come back. I thought they were a bunch of nice people. And I've enjoyed it ever since.
Yeah, I think you and Chuck Ballinger joined about the same time.
Within a week,
you?
I think. Within a week of each other.
Yeah.
And he, of course, has gone on to all kinds of high positions and stuff, and I have not, but then...
Well, he's been on
lazy.
The leadership path. Yeah, he's been... Gosh, he's been our president twice for the club.
Yep.
And yeah, we have amazing people in our club. It just attracts the most positive, fun, and creative people. It's always fun.
It seems too. Yeah.
What was that?
I said it seems too. To attract people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. The people that I've met through the club, including you, are among my favorite people that I know here in Marin County, and I'm so thankful that we still have the club and that we still have so many of the people that we've known for over the years. It's been awesome. Connection. I think I've told you that I saw a TED Talk on what is one of the greatest predictors of someone living a long life, and they said connection was one of the main predictors, and that's one of the things that reminds me of you, you know, because you connect with other people in so many different ways, and, you know, you have connection, communication, curiosity, creativity, collaboration, celebration, and contribution. You do all of those things, and I just wondered, what you have to say about those seven C's? What do you have to say about them?
Well, I had
them?
Never thought about them until that came up. I never thought about how those things are different facets of the same the same approach to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just get involved with bare feet and whatever's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Yeah. Oh.
But people have asked me the secret of my long life. I tell them I grew my own dope.
Oh. Why does that help?
Well, it's first top quality dope. That's why.
It helps you keep happy, right?
Sure.
Oh, Ben. You know, one of the things I love about you is that you make us laugh. And laughter is such an incredibly great gift and so healing.
Oh, it is indeed.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about next? Do you have...
One of the things I'd like to talk about and won't because I can't, is too complicated for me to surround, is the whole subject of time in the
mm-hmm.
way you look at time at various ages, looking back from 101 years.
Mm-hmm.
The huge difference between when I was in high school, living in West Seattle, where I grew up,
mm-hmm.
there is no way to express the difference between then and now in terms of the size and complexity of the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back at how the word pinched keeps coming out, pinched little lives. No concept of how big the world is, how real the world is. I always wanted to travel, but this was all theoretical, off in space somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think I would, and of course I have done a hell of a lot of travel. I've enjoyed a lot of it. I've enjoyed all
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back at... the news, you found out what happened by reading the newspaper, and it does indeed tell you what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now CNN tells you what is happening.
Right.
The whole difference between being conscious of a world in which things are happening, our horizons are so much wider.
Mm-hmm.
than they were 90 years ago. We look at time and space so differently. And it's wonderful. It means you're exercising your brain.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, is that time goes by so fast. And did it seem like it went really fast to you back then?
And it's going faster, you've noticed.
Yes.
Time is going faster, yes.
Yeah, it feels like it's on fast
yes.
forward.
Yes, it does indeed.
Yeah, the time between when you were on last year talking about turning 100 and now turning 101 feels like, I don't know, feels like a couple months or something at the most.
Yep.
Well,
we shall see.
What was that?
What?
What did you say?
I wasn't saying anything important.
Well, how about telling us, for the listeners who have not heard you talk about it before, how about you tell us a little bit about your art, travel, and your book? Whichever one you want to talk about first, you can. Okay.
I'll talk about the book.
Okay.
The title of the book is A Field Guide to the F Word. And while it's a small book, but basically small as it is, it's not so much to be read as to have. It's a coffee table book, really. The
mm-hmm.
purpose is not to begin it and read it and put it down to purpose. It's a conversation starter. And while I hope there are a few laughs in it, and there are some delightful drawings, which my friend, late friend Nan Fowler did, I do make a couple of serious points, I think, and I have discussed this with two different limericks. I've got those on the brain. With two different linguists, and they back me up. One of them is that there really are rules for using. Oh, the first one is, it's my contention, it's the thesis of the book, actually, that the word as we know it today was invented by the servicemen of World War II. And this doesn't seem possible on the face of it, but the evidence is there. The root word has been around for at least four centuries, unchanged, and it was back in the year 1500. It existed. It was highly taboo, rarely, if ever, in print, and refers to a specific act. And within a few years of the end of World War II, snafu was a word in the English language. And the world is full of people out there using the word snafu, not being aware of where the word came from, that it was an acronym. Well, that's one. That's the word as we know it. This complex, fascinating word, and it is. That's one. One of the purposes of the book, that contention that was the origin of the word.
I had no idea what snafu was until you told me.
Yes, you're one of the people. I remember that. You didn't know where the word came from.
Yeah.
It always delights me to hear little old ladies use the term. The other point the book makes is that there really are rules, and I can't go into them without using words that should not be used in public, but there really are ways you use it and ways you don't, connotations, all kinds of stuff. It's a fascinating word.
Well,
so anyhow, the book was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, your book really helped me see the word in a whole different way. Our son, and like you were saying, the younger generation uses it all the time, and actually Dudley, my husband, does too quite often. And I like that there's rules, you know, and that it has more shock value when you use it sparingly instead of all the time. So I liked those aspects. But you know what else I like about your book? I love those illustrations that are in it, and I love that you say in the beginning of the book that in order to save ink for the printing, that the word doesn't actually even appear in the book, and it doesn't. There's blank spaces wherever it would be.
It was interesting to me that the reviews of the book, reviewers inevitably mentioned that the word isn't used in the book, and they were divided over, hey, that was really neat, or this was simply silly.
I think it's really neat, personally.
I do, too.
And
I think it would get very boring. I think it would be very boring to see page after page of the world being thrust in your face.
Then it would be overusing it, just like you were saying that people do now. They overuse it. So this way people can use their imaginations. And, you know, the book is done with such creativity and a sense of humor. And that's why I highly recommend people get it. And they can get it on Amazon. It's still available there, A Field Guide to the F Word. And let's talk next about your art. I want to talk about your art. Tell us about the wall art.
Well, it's a little difficult to talk about because I don't know anybody else that does this. I I've never seen this kind of art before, and I thoroughly enjoyed the process. Basically, they're wall sculptures made out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Consider, and particularly dealing with shadow and highlight, think of painting with highlight and shadow instead of pigment. I'm particularly fascinated with light going around curves, going from light to dark or dark to light, gradually around curves. So I made a batch of these, and they're, some of them are fairly good sized. I've had a few shows, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the work. It's hard to describe it or evaluate it in that way because it's unique as far as I know. And I don't know where the idea came from, but I have found it satisfactory.
Well, you know, we love your art. Dudley and I, all of the people I know in Toastmasters that have seen it, Dudley was just brought me a note, and he said that he would call it a relief sculpture, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's as good as any.
Yeah, but we're so lucky because we have one of your relief sculptures here and on our wall in our living room, and we just love it. And you know, people come over and they go, "Oh, wow, you have an original bin on your wall." We are very lucky to have it. Well, let's see. We've got 8 minutes left, so we need to get on to the next topic. Do you want to talk about travel, or do you want to talk about your keys?
Yeah, travel. Let's talk about travel.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I dreamed of travel. I longed to travel. I sort of never really believed that I really would, you know. It was a dream, but it was a pipe dream, but it was a wonderful idea. Hell, I've done more travel than anybody I know except for airline personnel. And I've enjoyed every bit of it. And I've given a couple of Toastmaster speeches on various aspects of travel, one of them being that you may remember my having summed it up as saying that you learn much more about a place in a grocery store than in a cathedral. And it's true. It you get much closer to how people live.
Mm-hmm.
I have been over much of the world, and I've enjoyed all the travel I've done. And I don't need to do any more, in the sense that this may sound strange, but I remember the very first serious trip abroad I made was to England.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of realized as the first day in London wore down, I know this may sound weird, but it occurred to me, I don't have to come here again, because now I know it's really here. I mean, there it is. There's the bell tower with Big Ben. There's Buckingham Palace, there's you name it. And, of course, I knew those things were really there, but nonetheless, there was an immediacy about them. They had a reality, since I'd been there, they had a reality to me, even in the they continue to. I'm not stating this at all well, but travel,
you know,
has made me feel closer to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying, though, because of two things. I've only been to Europe once. We went in 1986. And seeing parts of Europe that we did, it's like, whoa, it's real. And now you can imagine.
That's it.
And
you
also going
real.
To Hawaii. I mean, the first time going to Hawaii, you just can't believe what it feels like and smells like and what it's like to be there. So, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's something about then once you've had that memory, every time you see pictures or talk about it, it comes back.
And you own the place.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true. Well, we have about 5 minutes left, and do you want to talk about your work at the Design Center, or what would you like to talk about?
I'm still being overwhelmed by being 101.
Let's talk about that.
it's astounding, and for some reason, it's even more important than 100. 100 was a marker, that's true and all that, but
mm-hmm.
101 got kind of a nice ring to it. I feel I've kind of grown into it, and I'm comfortable with it, and it's nice.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm so glad you're still here on the planet, and I savor every time we get to be together. I love having our time together, and I'm very thankful for it. Excuse me. We have only a little over 3 minutes left, so what advice do you have for listeners about time and living to 101?
Live for the moment and enjoy it.
Live in the moment and enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
No matter what you're doing.
No matter what you're doing, be there, right?
Yeah.
Just really
do. You know, I read a line once I don't think I've ever discussed with you.
Hmm.
It was given to me by my sister. She had read it someplace. And it's kind of wonderful. She was quoting something she'd read about I believe it was a nun,
mm-hmm.
and her outlook on life. Anyhow, they referred to this idea of being whatever you're doing, be part of it, be with it.
Mm-hmm.
They referred to things like washing dishes as prayer of the hands.
Ooh, I like that.
And now I do too. It's quite beautiful.
That is so amazing. I love that. Wow. Well, you know, Ben, Maya Angelou always said, your legacy is every life you touch. And I can't even imagine how many lives you've touched. And you're still touching them.
Well,
I left you speechless.
I think I may have shared with you. I've got the last line of my birthday acceptance speech that I'm going to give at this weekend when the neighbors have the party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of these days, I'm just going to have to begin getting organized.
One of these days, you're going to have to begin getting organized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
my motto for the year. I don't expect to achieve it, but it's a worthwhile goal.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
Ben.
I've enjoyed the conversation. I don't know that we covered much of anything, but we never seem to run out of topics, do we?
No, we don't seem to run out of topics. I think we could have done 45 minutes easily again, but we have 1 minute left, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the ways that you live your music, because you do it in such a wonderful variety of ways.
Well, that's much appreciated.
No.
And you have yourself a wonderful day, will you?
You too. And
I know you will. You'll enjoy the hell out of it, because you've learned how to enjoy life and everything about it.
I do. I do. I look for what's good, and I choose to focus on what I can do in the moment.
And
anyway,
every single morning, there it is, a whole new wonderful day opening up.
I know. It's like you wake up and you go, ooh, I get another one of these.
Yeah.
That's the way to look at life. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I'm so glad to know you. Everyone out there, whatever music you hear calling you, please go out, start living your music. Bye for now, Ben. Bye for now, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.